Following Roger, I want to thank you for being Roger. It takes time to prepare lessons, and he has a unique way of presenting things, and he certainly loves using things that would help us to better think about life here on this earth and what it means to us, the application of that. So he talked about practicing your faith, and he'd asked me to continue that in this way, about keeping it going. What happens to us is we have a time where pointed out, some people start out and it doesn't take very long and they've had enough of it and they just quit. It is difficult as you get a little bit older and to continue in things, and it's not as easy as it used to be for some of us in this room to be able to keep going, but it is a necessity because, as was pointed out, a life of faith is a life of faith until death. If you want to do something, you practice it pretty much all of your life as long as you possibly can. There's no retirement years. As long as we live and have the ability to do good works that God has planned for us to do. There's not a one of us in this room can reach a point in life and say, you know, God has to be pleased with what I've accomplished. You don't see that in any other area of life. You will never see that in any other area of life. And certainly Roger's talked about how important practice is. And we typically think of practice as being that thing we do before we actually do it, but as we've learned, actually, that's not true. Practice is actually doing what we have learned to do and what we continue to learn to do. The only way to practice our faith is by doing what God wants us to do our entire lives. It's not a matter of just starting. It's a matter of keeping it up. We're going to continue this study by talking about that. In Hebrews 10, 32 through 39, but recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you had a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. He talked about sports this morning, and how many times have we seen in sports someone start out really good? They're very good. They're exceptional athletes. They actually practice what they have learned to do. All of a sudden, something else becomes more important to them, like drugs or something else in life, and what happens to them? They quit. They are no longer play that sport. I don't care how good they are. We were talking about Tiger Woods yesterday. No matter how good you are at something, it requires keeping on. When it comes to spiritual things, it's not a matter of we can go a certain distance. He warns them about not casting away their confidence because he said, for you have need of endurance. You ever get tired, Glendon? Well, I think so. You ever get tired of being there for others spiritually? So that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. He's practicing it. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him, but we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe to the saving of the soul. Never stops. Never stops. Now, I don't know how old these people were. It really doesn't matter. But it certainly plays a part in those of us that are older. And I'm going to use 3 points. One is to stay strong. I don't care how old you are, stay strong. It is such a temptation sometimes just to back off and not do anything. But Paul stayed strong in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Where did he get his strength? From himself? Absolutely not. He realized where he got it. My grace, he said, is sufficient for you. Talking about what Christ had said to him. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, therefore, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ rest upon me. You know, Paul, whatever this infirmity was, I tend to think it may have had something to do with his eyesight, but regardless, it could have been easy for him. He could have said, I've had enough. You know, it's difficult. This is hard to keep going every day. But Christ said, it's not in you. So don't let it be that way, Paul. So we have to stand. Is it easy? No. As we get older, sometimes we think, well, let's let someone else do that. But Paul makes a point here about standing in Galatians 2:11-14, and he's not standing against the world. He's standing against fellow Christians who have lost an understanding of God's Word. When Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Isn't that sad? It's so easy, isn't it, to lose it for a moment. The rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. When you get older, you have to stand. You stand for truth. You stand for it firmly. You let people know that they're not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. When they make some statement to you about wanting to do something or something's okay, you say, wait, where is that? Because they're not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Peter knew better. Peter knew better. But sometimes we have to stand. We don't compromise. Never compromise. They wanted to compromise. The churches of Galatia were compromising. They were trying to bring the law of Moses in with the law of Christ, and they were trying to mix it together. We don't bring anything in with the law of Christ. Stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't bring that old law in. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Is the old law profitable? It absolutely is for us to study. Every bit of God's Word is. That's why we study it, so that we can know the difference between the two. So we can understand what Christ's law is about. We don't meld them together and hope for the best. I would never, again, been under the law of Moses. Why would I want to bring that in? I'm a Gentile. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, he's a debtor to keep the whole law if you bring part of a false religion in. In this case, it became false. Then you've got to bring it all in. You've got to bring it all in. We're just talking in the front. I was talking to Mark and Lauren before I came up here. The truth is, they were talking about what had happened in a certain group. And the truth is, what happens is that once they start, they never stop. Once you don't need law for one thing, you don't need it for anything. Once you can say, this is okay, I don't need authority for it, you can bring anything in. That's why we get older and we have to stand. We have to stand. You've become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. What law? The law of Moses. We don't waver. We don't waver. We don't say, okay, I'll get along on this one. We don't do it. If we love people, we don't do it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Where'd the sound mind come from? Mine? No. He gave it to me through the Word of God. Where did the love come from? From me? No, from the Word of God taught me how to love. Where did the power come from? From God. Where does the spirit of fear come from? From man. We stand. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. What comes with this? Sometimes we're not treated like we should if we don't waver. But use some wisdom in this. I think of when Paul was talking to Philemon in Philemon 8:10. So beautiful in this. He's trying to talk to him about Onesimus. And he says, you know, Philemon, think about this. He said, I could be very bold to command you what is fitting, yet, for his love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you. Sometimes we have to think about things. How many times do you practice something? You're getting ready to talk to someone, you know maybe this isn't going to go well. You're going to talk to them about God's Word and you realize, well, they're not going to agree with what I believe the Bible teaches. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to blast them out of the saddle and tell them how smart I am. No, we don't do that. We use wisdom. We try our best to say it in the best possible way. And even then, sometimes, it may not be taken well. But we use wisdom. We use wisdom. We don't belittle. We don't put them down. Being such a one as Paul the aged. We should let wisdom come to us as we get older. And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I've begotten while in my chains. use some wisdom. Job, not necessarily inspired of God, made a very valid point. Job 12:12, wisdom is with aged men and with length of days, understanding. One of the reasons that I understand, I hope, some things about the Word of God has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the fact that I had super people who worked very hard with me to try to teach me to use my own common sense and ability to understand God's Word. If not for those older people, let me ask you a question. So you're getting ready to look at a baseball team, a professional team of professional football. Do they pick the youngest person they can find? Do they say, you know, we really want someone that just got out of college and we're going to let them be the manager and the coach? You don't see that. Why? They want someone that has some wisdom, that knows how to lead others, how to teach others, how to lead them in the proper way. Another thing that's very important, we need to be working with those that are younger. We never give it up. Paul, to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 2, and 3, a true son in the faith. He wanted to pass this on to others. Pass on his knowledge. Pass on his strength. Pass on his wisdom. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus as you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I've got to tell you right now, Mark did not start out being an electrician by just going in and tearing out some electric. Because I'll tell you what would have happened to him. He would have been a dead man right now. He listened to someone else and learned. And I'm certain that you can talk to Mark, and he's been hit a few times as it is, with all the practice that he's had. You see, we work on this, and this happens, and we need to pass that on to someone else. Someone passed it on to Mark. Isn't that true in all of the professions that are in this building? We learn. If we're smart, we learn. But if not for the fact that someone older took us under their wing and taught us, we wouldn't know that. The charge I commit to you, son Timothy, this charge I commit to you. We need to talk to young people and say, one of the things that Bill used to get so upset with me about, he would say, well, I think it's okay. And I said, well, I don't. I don't care if what he was telling me was okay according to God's Word. That is not the answer. Ask him afterwards. He got really aggravated with me. Show me from God's Word. Well, I just think that's not... No, Bill, it won't work with me. Give me the authority from God's Word. And without being haughty. I'm nobody. I really am a nobody. And the truth is, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. And I did that when I was growing up. I wanted to learn. I wanted people to teach me about God. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We are not anybody other than someone that's trying our best to do God's will. And thankfully, some of us that are older have been privileged to live a little bit longer and hopefully do it the way we should. In Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. We have nothing, nothing to be proud of. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ every one of us in this room receives salvation. And that's the only way. But we need to do it with understanding. It's a story about the woman that was brought to Christ that had been caught in adultery. And as we read this and we think about it, this is a very serious situation, and certainly there could have been a man involved in this too, wouldn't you think? And so they only brought the woman. And they were wanting to trick him and ask him, "How? What should we do with this woman?" And so he asked them, he first bends down on the ground and does some writing. We don't know what that was. And then he asks a question, or basically makes a statement. He that is without sin cast the first stone. Powerful statement, because it makes people start thinking about their own lives, doesn't it? Now, was he saying she's okay in this? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. She was in sin, and he would later tell her, get out of that sin, stay out of that sin, don't get back in that sin. And how would she get her forgiveness? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, like everybody else. But there's a statement made in this in verse 9. than those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Who set the right example here? Those that were older recognized the fact that, you know what, I'm not doing this right either. I need some help too. We realize as older people that we too still need the blood of Jesus Christ every day of our lives to take away our sins. But we need to do this without bending. We don't give in just because someone wants to do something. In Titus 2, 1 and 2, but as for you, he told Titus, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Why? That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, and sound in faith. Why was there a need for that? Because older men can not be sound in faith, in love and in patience. How about those older women? Well, let's look at them. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God not be blasphemed. What's the responsibility here? Keep on. Keep on. You ever get tired of teaching younger women, older women? Don't. Someone taught you. They either taught you by example or from the word of God. It may have been a preacher, but it should have been older women. If you don't take on this responsibility, older women, the younger women will not learn. If you don't believe that's not true, look out in the world today and see how many even love their children anymore. Older women serving God. In Luke 2, beautiful woman, Anna. Anna. Great age. Great age. 84 years old. She didn't depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She didn't give up. She didn't give up. She kept doing it. She kept doing it. And you can tell how thankful she is because it's almost like she realizes, now I can leave this life. when they brought Jesus there. Teach them to show respect. One of the worst things in this world is looking around the world today and there's no respect. No respect for other people. No respect for older people. No respect for property. No respect for those in authority. And certainly no respect for God. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers. Younger as sisters with all purity. And lastly, never give up. Never give up. Let me tell you a little something. There was a friend of mine was watching one of those nature shows. And there was this young beaver, and they were videoing this, and this young beaver was out there, and he kept trying to build this dam. And he was working and working and working, and every time he'd get it built, it'd just wash away. And so they were these nature photographers were doing this the whole time, and then all of a sudden this younger beaver left. And they thought, well, he's given up. And so they were still there, you know, videoing things. And here he comes back later, and he's got this big, older beaver with him. And they get out there, in this river or creek or whatever it was, and the older beaver's there, and he's doing this, and next thing you know, they got it dammed off. I appreciated both ends of that story. It tells me about older beavers that they never give up. They keep building those dams. I don't care how many times you tear them out, they'll be right back building it again if you don't get rid of them. That's what they do. But this younger beaver had enough sense. He knew he had to keep it this. It was his territory. It was his house. He needed some help. He was smart enough to know that. Never give up. I don't care what age you are. Paul never quit. He's getting ready to die. And he said, in my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Why? So that I could have a good life? No. So that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He already knows that his life is about to end, but he wasn't discouraged. We know from Philippians 1, and he was wanting to leave this life and go and be at home with his Father in heaven. So he said, "For I am already be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith." What needs to be the last words of Abe Martin? "I have kept the faith to the best of my ability. And the rest of it, I have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ for the things that I have never done, have not done." Never give up. Keep encouraging. Keep encouraging young people to hang in there. We find John, he's getting older. He calls himself the elder. And I don't think he was talking about serving as an elder necessarily in the church here. He's just talking about he's very old. He writes to the elect lady and her children. In 3 John, he writes to his beloved Gaius. He's encouraging him. He's encouraging him to keep on keeping on. So today, I encourage you, never give up. Keep working. Paul never quit working. In 2 Corinthians 12, 14 through 16, "Now for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls." The attitude of older Christians: I will spend and be spent for your souls. I will do whatever it takes to help you in any way that I can to get to heaven, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I'm loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. He said, "My love got you. My desire to help you, it got you." Keep the faith. Brad in his prayer. And I want to thank him for remembering me in there as well. Keep the faith. What did he talk about? All these people in Hebrews 11. "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony." And in that prayer, he gave us that testimony. These people of old, and some of them were old, kept the faith. They looked for something they could not see. We look back at something we can see, and we look forward to something we cannot see as well. Our faith keeps us going. Never give up. The truth is, it's so easy. It's easy to give up. It's easy not to do it. It's easy sometimes for these to not play that next game. They have an excuse. They have a reason. "My toe hurts. I ache." And then he finds someone else like a Pete Rose that got out there every day regardless of what his injuries were and played the game. We play it to the best of our ability. We practice it every day of our lives. We never give up. And here's why. Here's why. When an older person gives up, it not only affects their lives and their salvation, but it affects others as well. If we see someone that we thought was so faithful to God suddenly give it up, and we think they couldn't keep going, it has an effect on us. It has an effect on us. If you don't think that's true, think in your workplace about what if those that were older didn't show up for work. What kind of example would they set for you? Keep going. Never give up. Practice, practice, practice. I thought exactly the same thing that Brad did. One of the other things, including what Mike had said, practice makes perfect, is the saying. There's only one that ever practiced it perfectly. He's our example. He's the one we look to. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Throughout His whole life, He lived it perfectly, and He did exactly everything that He came to this world to do. Perfectly. Including giving up His life on the cross for our sins. So the question comes today. If Jesus, God in the flesh, knew that it was important that He do everything, as He said, that His Father asks, is it not even more so important that we do that as well? That we understand that what Jesus did for us will not take away our sin unless we have the faith and we practice it. How do we practice it? Well, Jesus said, he that believes and is immersed or baptized in water for the remission of sins shall be saved. That's what it takes. I didn't say it. He did. Why wouldn't we do that and have our sins remitted? Or as a Christian, why don't we do everything we can to keep sin out of our life? Practice what's right. Evil from us. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?